Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our verse-by-verse study of Psalm 19. We'll be covering verses 12 through 14 in this study. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail a letter by U.S. Postal, and if you'd like to support this ministry, add any check or money order to that letter and send it to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate, if you would like, at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. This is part 1 of 2. So tonight's Bible study will be in Psalm 19. We're going to finish our study of Psalm 19. And we go verse by verse the way God gave it to us. After our current events update. The Who, not the rock band, the UN agency. The World Health Organization is an agency of the United Nations. That tells you all you really need to know right there. The media is making a big deal about the fact that the president has stopped funding. We'll come back to that in a minute. But this organization stopped medical experts from recommending coronavirus travel bans, and our Democrat media, the people in CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and most of the New York Times, Time Magazine, all that, they're registered Democrats. Their money goes to elect Democrats, and their job, they use their influence as journalists to try to push the Democrat Party agenda. They're fakes, they're liars, and they're a joke as far as being journalists. Just keep all that in mind. I have to repeat that. Some of you say, yes, we know you've been saying that over and over for years, and I'm going to keep saying it because there's still people who don't know better. And they are trying to blame Donald Trump for not having travel bans earlier. When he did it, they called him a racist. And when he did it, this organization was parroting China's propaganda. And so the World Health Organization is serving the communists. And the Democrat Party serves the communists. Medical experts wanted to recommend travel bans for nations to help stop the spread of the Chinese coronavirus in the early days of the pandemic. World Health Organization bureaucrats stopped them from making those recommendations. This is a report in Breitbart. I recommend you bookmark Breitbart.com, but this was taken from Australia's Sky News, which you can also see on the internet, of course. And this report revealed that on January 30th, the World Health Organization bureaucrats met with a group of doctors and medical experts to discuss a response to the coronavirus. This is in January 30th, which at the time was spreading from Wuhan, China, to nations like the United States, Italy, Iran, and South Korea. The report is based on the meeting's official records. So this is documented. Let me say this. Some of you watch a video on YouTube and believe it, and that's just foolish. Don't believe anything unless they're doing what we're doing right now, and that is looking at the documentation. News reports that provide documentation. Most of what's out there on the Democrat news media quotes unnamed sources, and they don't give you the documentation. Continuing, the World Health Organization bureaucrats met with the experts in Geneva, Switzerland, and successfully stopped them from suggesting travel bans as a life-saving solution to stop the spread of the coronavirus. The Sky News online editor Jack Houghton, Here we go with the lights again. But the World Health Organization actually decided not to go ahead with travel ban recommendations and not declare a global health emergency. But there were a few dissenting voices. So the official meeting records say there was a divergence of views, but they won't actually go into detail about who was trying to block it. But there were doctors there who wanted to issue travel bans, and the World Health Organization blocked it because they are owned by the Chinese. Here's the sad thing, folks. The United States of America has been giving them 500, if I remember right, it was $500 billion or something like that, some amazing amount of money, $500 million, okay, and then China's giving them $50 million. We're giving them 10 times the amount of money, but they are spouting Chinese propaganda. In early and late February, while thousands of coronavirus cases were confirmed across the world, WHO bureaucrats continuously urged nations not to impose travel bans. An official WHO statement from February 29th reads, quote, WHO continues, WHO being the World Health Organization, continues to advise against the application of travel or trade restrictions to countries experiencing COVID-19 outbreaks, end quote. Despite these World Health Organization bureaucrats stopping the experts from recommending travel bans to nations looking to keep the coronavirus from spreading, President Trump moved forward with travel bans on China and Iran within weeks of the first confirmed case in the U.S. And as a result, this is a headline, I think, from Fox News. Global battle erupts as Trump pulls U.S. funding over agency's coronavirus response. And Donald Trump's doing the right thing. And the Democrat parties and the hip pocket of the communists. And that's why they are attacking our president and siding with the Chinese Communist Party and their World Health Organization that they run. Listen, I just have to say this. Globalism will happen. It's going to. Revelation 6, the white horse rider, and Revelation 13, the first and second beast is the Antichrist, the false prophet. They will bring about world government. The only question is how soon. Just because there's world government doesn't mean it's the revelation and the tribulation and the 70th week of Daniel. There could be a world government already in place. And a lot of prophecy teachers, I think, have said that in the past, that they expect there will be a world government in place before the Antichrist assumes power. And, you know, my opinion on that, and it's just an opinion, but based on our studies of Revelation 17 and 18, which I think we spent like 20 hours of study on those two chapters, that the Antichrist will be the final pope, and out of desperation, the world will turn to this man who already is worshipped and adored by more than a billion people on the planet who are Roman Catholics, and another billion who just adore him for whatever reason. So when the Antichrist comes, he'll add to the 2 billion who adore him, and he'll...
Because they're idolaters.
Yeah, they're just idolaters. And when the Pope came to America the last time, it was just amazing the way people, they were crying and putting their hands out like it was the Lord himself. Sick. But in Revelation 16:14, we read, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world." That's the reason God's allowing the world government, is because he's going to draw them all down to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Amen.
And so keep that in mind. As you see the world government being formed, we're not going to go along with anything that goes against our Constitution. God established and ordained the Constitution as the legal power and authority in this country. And we're going to fight and defend that Constitution as Americans. But after the rapture, I've talked to several people about this over the last few weeks. After the rapture, All the Jews around the world, including all the Jews in America, and I think there's like 3 million in New York alone, New York City, they are all going to take their money and their assets and go back to Israel. So with the you take out all the Christians, you take out all the Jews, their money, economic collapse of the United States of America. And that's why I believe we're not named in Bible prophecy. So with that, we will open with prayer and get into our study of Psalm 19. Father, we thank you for those who are able to join us. And we're just so thankful for having the connections we do with other believers. And these last few weeks makes us really appreciate the time that we are able to gather together and have our church meetings. And there are a lot of folks around the world, a lot of folks around the United States of America who can't find a good local church that is a Bible-believing church with a Bible-believing pastor. And we've just always felt for those who are in that circumstance. And now we find ourselves in a circumstance where we cannot join together with our other brothers and sisters in Christ here locally. We miss each and every one of them, and we look forward to getting together again in the upcoming, hopefully no more than a couple of weeks from now. We pray you give our president wisdom, and that our governor, Mike DeWine, will follow his lead and do what's right. And we pray for the other governors who are influencing the lives of believers in all 50 states and all the U.S. territories and places like Guam, where we have listeners, and the Virgin Islands, and up in even in Canada and England and Australia and so many other countries, Romania. We just have faithful listeners in all these and others. The Netherlands come to mind. And we just pray your protection over all of our Christian family, the BBF family, and our loved ones. We just thank you for all of your blessings, your long-suffering, your patience. I've been asked by folks, you know, why is this happening? And my response is that I'm surprised it's just taken so long for things like this to happen. You've been so patient and long-suffering with the nation, just speaking for America, who's killing babies since 1973 by the millions, who have blasphemed your name and your institution of marriage with sodomite marriage, and have done so many other things that are an affront to a holy God and in complete contradiction of your word. Your patience and long-suffering is amazing. We thank you for your mercy and your grace for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and the power of his resurrection. And we give you praise as we ask you to help us in our study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 19, 12 to 14, three verses. Psalm 19, 12 to 14. Get my little clicker to work there. Here's a basic outline of Psalm 19. We've broken this down into these studies. We covered verses 1 through 3, and it was the witness of creation, or creation witness. Then verses 4 through 6, we talked about the geocentric reality. And I'm not going to get into that. Go back and watch it if you didn't see it. We only have a live stream version of that. So I may go back. I probably will go back and redo that message in a better quality at some point. Then verse 11, we looked at the law and fear of God. And we'll say a little more about that in this study, which is verses 12 through 14, and it's a personal response to all of the above, all of the amazing witness of creation and the witness of Scripture combined. And that's where we pick up in verse 12. We'll read verses 12 through 14, so you can read with me. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. God's people say amen. Amen. I can hear it from all over the world. So this gets down deep and personal after being more of a broad spectrum and just covered so much about that is true on a broad sense of all believers. All believers, if they're conscious and they're thinking at all, they recognize the wonder of creation, the fingerprints of God, and then they know that God's word and his law converted the soul, as we read last time. It shows us our need of salvation. And now it comes down to the personal walk with the Lord. As he says in verse 12, who can understand his errors? So the fleshly man ends there and adopts this as his permanent attitude. Now, you may have read that and thought, who can understand his errors and had the proper attitude about that? But the man in the flesh, I've just had this, just probably every day in the last week, I've had someone express this from a fleshly sense in conversations or online. And they basically say, you know, oh, there's so many interpretations and so many people think they know what's right and what's wrong. Who can understand his errors? And therefore, I'm just not going to take any position on it. I'm just going to throw it all out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the attitude. And that's the fleshly man. But the spirit-filled man moves on to repentance. We understand that it says, who can understand his errors? And we know that we're so sinful that there's times we've sinned and we don't even recall it. We're so sinful that it's almost like there's too much. The sins pile on. But God knows. And that moves us to an attitude of repentance. And then a repentant heart says what the rest of the verse says. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That's the attitude of repentance. Not just the big sins, but just the sinful condition and sins that we commit and we're not even fully aware of. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices for known sins, sins that you commit that were clear and obvious. But there were also sacrifices offered for the sins of omission. And those are the two words that you hear them use, commission and omission and commission. And sins are things, there are things that we don't do, that we ought to do, and that's still sinful, and so forth. So that's repentance. And since Christ came, we have the cleansing performed by the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Because you heard the truth, or was confronted with the truth, that you're a sinner and that your sins have separated you from God. And you can either respond by saying, so what? Or, I don't believe that. We were watching another Ray Comfort short little video today where these two young boys were confronted by Ray with their sin. And all they wanted to do is excuse themselves and to argue about the Bible, having that attitude. Who can understand his errors? That was their attitude. So, well, that's your opinion, you know, and that sort of thing. And you know, Ray was laying it out clear, and any honest man or woman, any honest thinking person who is intelligent enough, mature enough to understand right from wrong, will answer to God if they reject Jesus and go to their grave without Christ. When they stand before the white throne, they will answer to God and admit they knew. They understood. And then there's those of us who are saved. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And there's times we were watching the recently departed Ligonier Ministry founder, R.C. Sproul. And he was asked, you know, the Calvinist idea of the elect. And someone said, how do we know we're among the chosen? His response is typical from what I hear from Calvinists. It comes down to works. And that's why they preach this lordship salvation. And they base everything on works. And that's why we've mentioned that in England, a few years ago, they did a survey of Calvinist pastors who were retired, and they'd spent, some of them, 60, 70 years in the ministry preaching Calvinism, preaching the tulip, and coming to the end of their lives had no assurance of salvation. That's just amazing. But it's because that mentality, it's one based on works. Listen, if you have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, at that moment you're saved. You don't judge your salvation on works. You can judge your growth. You can judge your relationship. You can assess the likelihood of what kind of reward you're going to get based on what you've done. But your salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And it was just amazing. He went on for 7 minutes talking about this, you know, this long drug out thing. He finally got to where he was asked, if you have any love for Jesus, he didn't even use the word love, but maybe once, he used the word affection. Any affection for Jesus. Well, every Mormon I know would say they have an affection for Jesus, but it's just not the right Jesus. You'd probably get those answers from most Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's a lot of Baptists who would tell you that, and they're not even saved. You're not saved by being a Baptist. You're saved by believing the gospel. And then once you're saved, you have the indwelling Spirit of Christ, and you will sense that convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So you will know that not only you're saved by the gospel, but when you sin, you don't enjoy it. You're not allowed to get by with it. God chastises you. God convicts you. And so you do have some practical experience with God. And that's why people have, you know, the real uptight Calvinists especially will say that song we sang Sunday should be ripped out of the hymn books. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Well, how ironic. The very people who want to rip that out of the hymn book, but when you go to their leaders and ask them about how you know you're saved, they turn to affection for Jesus as their answer. And I don't believe in Jesus because what's going on in my heart. I have this relationship, the indwelling Spirit. I sense his presence in my life and in my heart because of faith in the gospel. And I have based my salvation on the gospel, and the fact that I believed on that gospel and on the authority of God's word, I am saved. And that's why I don't have that hang up. And I don't get up here and constantly try to make everybody who hears me doubt their salvation. I remind them of the gospel, and if there was a time where they repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel, they were saved at that very moment. Now I will remind them of their need to serve the Lord out of love. We love Him because He first loved us. And we should do works. We were created unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them, according to Ephesians 2:10, after Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And we do so because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit in us, and that's what causes us then to not act like the fleshly man who tries to justify himself. Who can understand his errors? And stop there. No, we say, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then those of us who are honest know that the real cleansing isn't going to be complete in our physical shell, and we still have that sinful nature until the rapture and the resurrection. If you die before the rapture, you'll go to be with the Lord, but then your body will be resurrected and glorified. If you're still alive and remain when that happens, then you will be raptured in your body, and all that is in you will be glorified. And we'll no longer have to worry about cleansing of secret sins. I read this a long time ago, many, many moons ago, but it just came to mind as I was studying. This is from John Wesley. Now, sadly, John Wesley had some of the same problems Calvinists have with eternal security. But when he was not defending his Arminianism, and he was just simply preaching what he knew to be true, he said some great things. And one of them here is a quote. He said, "Thou art no longer afraid of hell or death or him that had once the power of death, the devil. No, nor painfully afraid of God himself." We talked about the fear of God, but it's not a painful fear the way we had before we were saved. Wesley goes on and says, "Only thou hast a tender filial fear." That's like the kind of respect and fear you have for your father. "Of offending him. Dost thou believe? Then thy soul doth magnify the Lord, and thy spirit rejoiceth in God thy Savior. Thou rejoicest in that thou hast redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." That's Colossians 1:14. They've ripped out the words "through his blood" from your new versions. "Thou rejoicest in that spirit of adoption which crieth in thy heart, Abba, Father. Thou rejoicest in a hope full of immortality, in reaching forth unto the mark of the prize of the high calling, in an earnest expectation of all the good things which God hath prepared for them that love him." End quote. Yeah, that's a mouthful. But that is the spirit-filled man right there. That's the saved man who has that living relationship with the Lord and is filled with the Spirit. So we go back to Psalm 19, verse 13 then says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." Presumptuous sins. To be presumptuous is to be unreasonable, to be foolish or rash. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, from really doing things that are knee-jerk and wrong. There have been men who have acted out and lashed out, said things they shouldn't have said, maybe even become physically violent, and they shouldn't have. That's just some of the examples of presumptuous sins, unreasonable, foolish, and rash. Presumptuousness is not a gift of the Spirit. And I say that because there's some people who really do...